don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guests in just a few moments, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verses 1 through 11, a portion of 1 Peter chapter 5. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you for the ways in which your word blesses us as we open it each and every day and spend time reading and meditating and thinking on your word. Father, more and more help us to grow every day in our understanding of the need for us to fill our hearts and our minds with your word and thus walk in its wisdom and receive the blessings that comes from being students of your word. Thank you for the gift, the wonderful gift of your word, and help us to come to better and better understand with every passing day the fact that your word is pregnant with the ability to bless us. Help us to be faithful to not only live it, but to teach and train our children and our grandchildren to fill their hearts and minds with your word as well every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're grateful to have by phone with us today Mr. David Harms. He's the president of India Partners. Brother David, how are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here and share some good news about what God is doing in India.
Amen. Amen. As we start off, I want to ask if you would just introduce our listeners a little bit more to yourself and the India Partners, and then tell them about the specific project that we're working with you on today.
Sure. Well, at India Partners, we obviously work in India, and we have 10 different projects where we partner with local churches in those regions for various different kinds of ministry. We have some ministries that are rescuing children out of the red light districts and putting them in safe houses. We have ministries to the hearing impaired and to the handicapped, and we have a ministry that we're focusing on today in the southeast side of the country, about an hour outside of Rajahmundry, which is the biggest city in this area. But even we go very remote back into the communities or right back into the country. And there, through Pastor Eleazar and his wife Prema, there's a church and a ministry that plants churches and digs water wells and then has this children's home as well. The children's home is an orphanage and children's home for children that have been basically abandoned by their families, or they've been orphaned because of AIDS. Some have escaped the slave trade, and they really have nowhere else to go. And in a very multi-religious society, having a Christian light in the midst of all that is incredibly important. And that's what this children's home is. And so that's what we're asking people to do today. We've been operating this children's home for many years, and it got so big to the point that we actually expanded it and about a year ago. And that was awesome. However, we have come to the knowledge that the government actually, with the building codes, has said, nope, you cannot put boys and girls in the same home, in the physical home. You can't divide them by floors. You need a separate facility. This building code, man, this is what kind of threw things off a little bit for us. So it's okay. What we've done, and we've seen the Lord provide, is We've been able to purchase land very close to the children's home that we currently operate. Mm-hmm. We've got the site prep all there. We've got the permits all secured. What we don't have is the money to actually build the building. And here's where kind of some urgency kicks in, and why we're here today is that the government has given us until September 15th, so basically 2 weeks, mm-hmm. to actually start building the building. And we can do this if the funding is secured. So, and if we don't, well, the government has every right to come and basically move the boys out of the home and into other government-run orphanages or orphanages run by other religions, and we would just rather keep them in the nurturing environment of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that's why if we know that they're building, if we can break ground, and if the government sees that, then all's good. Mm-hmm. We don't have to complete it by September 15th. We have to see that we're on the way and we've secured the funding. So that's what we're here today doing, is sharing stories and asking if people would call a phone number or go online, mm-hmm. Make a gift, and that would go toward the building of this orphanage in India.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, before we go further, I'm going to ask if you'll take time to pray for our listeners, that their hearts and their minds will be just wide open to what God would have them to do, so that they'll hear what the Lord wants them to do to help with this very important project. Would you pray at this time?
I will. Father, boy, we come to you humbled. Humbled that you have not left us alone here, that you have in fact entered into the tough places of this world. You certainly did it in Jesus 2,000 years ago, and you're doing it today through us, through their body of Christ. But you have this burden and this heart for the broken, those that are on the outside.
Yes, Lord.
And these orphans that you have given us especially a teaching on and a passion for, these are the ones that we lift before you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And we ask you in Jesus' name that you would provide for them through us as you are calling us. And so, in fact, God, I just pray. I pray not that you would give us any words that would convince anybody to give a penny,
Thank
but
you,
that your spirit,
yes, Lord Jesus.
Your spirit would work and move and convict. And just those that you would call to give, may they be obedient to the
yes,
Spirit
Lord,
working
Jesus.
On their lives. May you soften their hearts to the widows and the orphans. And when the means are there and the calling is there, may they be obedient to call the number or to make that gift online. Because at the end of that, at the end of this, we want to glorify you and honor you,
Thank you.
By reaching in and bringing a little bit of your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, where there is no poverty, there is no pain, there is no suffering, there's no sickness.
Thank you.
There are people that worship you. That's what we pray for,
Thank
that the
you.
Children that come into this home get to know you personally and respond to that in worship and praise
Thank
and adoration. That's what we pray for today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David, for praying for our listeners. And I want to say just to every person listening, keep this wonderful truth in mind. You and I as brothers and sisters in Christ have the privilege of partnering with God to get God's work done in so many ways and so many regards in our lives. And what an honor and a privilege it is for us to know that we are working alongside, working with the Holy Spirit to get God's work done. And so, though we may not be physically in India, it's a way in which we, by the grace of God, can travel to India and help do outreach right there. So, for every single listener, I want to encourage you to consider getting involved. Well, what we're hoping to do is we're encouraging, our goal is that we're wanting 1,000 people to consider giving $148. That will cover our goal for today. And we've begun and haven't reached that goal yet, but we're working in that direction. So if every single listener would pray, consider that possibility. Now, if you can't do $148, any gift you can give can help move in that direction. Absolutely any gift. And I would encourage every listener, consider giving something, even if it's a very small gift, because again, when a lot of people give small gifts, it can go a long, long way. So every listener, if you'll pray, prayerfully consider giving something towards this end, we invite you to do that. The number to call if you'd like to give, 1-800-256-1677, to share your best gift. Again, 1-800-256-1677, or you can go online to afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. But if you'll call, either call that number or go online, we'd appreciate any gift you're able to give. David, can you tell us a little bit more about the project?
Well, the project is one that we're very excited about, and it has a lot to do, of course, with just reaching into the the pain of these children's lives. So we're excited by that. And here's the thing. We have this one orphanage and children's home already where the boys are crammed in. Mm-hmm. And the good news is that even though this is an unexpected thing in regard to the code of having separate facilities for boys, the building code for boys and girls, what will happen, and this is where I guess I get really excited, because once we have the boys' home, mm-hmm. We can move boys into there, and we can expand that now. Mm-hmm. And it then frees up space in what will become exclusively the girls' home. And now we have an opportunity for more ministry as a result of having another facility. So it really is a great opportunity, and we are excited by what God is doing. And I just got to add my amen, Pastor, to your comment about doing something. In God's economy, there is no gift, an amount that's better than another. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we see that in the parable of the talents. It doesn't matter whether you get 5 bags of gold, 2 bags, or 1 bag. It's never the amount, ever. Mm-hmm. It's always about the heart.
That's right.
And God can look at the heart and go, hey, you're $50, you're $20, you're $148, you're $5,000. None of it's better than another. Mm-hmm. It's all working to say, look, this is always in response to how God has impacted our lives. We respond to that by being generous with what we have received. We never give out of guilt. Amen. We give out of gratitude.
Amen.
And so thank you for calling and making a little dent, whatever that might be, as we work toward this raising of what would eventually be $148,000.
Amen. And I want to challenge even the children and young people that are listening. If you can pledge even a dollar, whatever you might have, again, remember, in the Word of God, a child gave Jesus one small dinner, and he multiplied it and fed thousands of people. Amen. We serve a God that's a miraculous God. He can take a small gift and do wonderful, wonderful things with it. So the children, young people, even if you don't have a lot of money per se, give what you can and watch God bless that to them. David, you have just about another minute, a little over another minute. Any final words you'd like to share about the project?
Well, I guess I would just respond by saying that if you want to get more of Jesus in your life, then in my world, what I see is I want to go where Jesus hangs out. And I've never seen Jesus more prominent than amongst the poor and the broken. Mm. And I think we can kind of go there, as you said. We don't have to go to India to do that. But by getting ourselves involved in this, mm-hmm. by praying, by giving, you are getting a little bit more of Jesus by going where Jesus would go. And that just conforms us a little bit more into the image of Jesus. So the number to call, and we appreciate any gift, is 800-256-1677, 800-256-1677. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your gift. And also online at afr.net. Pastor, just thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit of what God is doing through this project.
Thank you, Brother David. And may the Lord bless you and the ministry of India Partners as you continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the nation of India.
Amen.
Father, thank you, Lord, for all of our listeners. Again, thank you for the chance to be involved in a wonderful outreach like this. Father, bless the ministry of India Partners indeed. Expand their territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. And Lord, we ask that you'd bless so that this project, that you'd bless through it to give them well beyond what is needed so they can do even more good and love and bless so many more people in the nation of India, a nation that has so many unique needs and trials and challenges, but thank you for the fact that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Lord, we love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. Again, prosper the hands of India Partners wonderfully today. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Dave, for being with us. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening. Shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening. Encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Christians often get a bad reputation for thinking we're better than other people. We're often accused of pretending to be holier than thou. But when you really consider what we're actually saying when we say we're Christians, the opposite should be true. When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean I'm openly admitting that I'm a sinner incapable of pleasing God? When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean there was one perfect person who lived a life I never could and paid a debt I truly owed? When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm far from better than anyone else. In fact, when I say that I'm a Christian, I'm saying I deserve death and eternal separation from God because of my sin. It should humble each and every one of us when we say we're Christians. The truth of the matter is, Christianity doesn't make you perfect. It publicly acknowledges you're not. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com. The only thing good when it's semi-sweet is chocolate. So why are you walking around semi-sweet and pretty close to bitter? The enemy likes to feed bitterness by aiding in our recall of times and situations where we've been hurt. The problem with constantly reliving these hurts is that with every recall, we, yes, we, injure our spirit all over again. Even in his correction of us, the Lord does not cast us off forever. Lamentations 3:32 says, "Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies." Until you can truly release your offender, you are bound by an offense which the enemy uses to cause bitterness to grow. Left unchecked, this bitterness spreads to every area of our lives. Forgive from the heart as you've been forgiven. It's the only escape from the trap of bitterness. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com.
I wanna be
music of Adam and Tara Lowry, the song Closer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, hoping that you will choose to get involved with the great work that India Partners is doing. Again, it would be a privilege to be a part of a powerful project helping to build that dormitory. And again, any gift you can give is appreciated. Again, we're hoping to get at least 1,000 people that will give a gift of $148. But if you can't give that amount, any gift you can give would be genuinely appreciated. Once again, that number is 1-800-256-1677. Again, 1-800-256-1677. Or you can go online at afr.net and give online. Again, afr.net. Hope you'll get involved with the work, the wonderful work that India Partners is doing. As we turn our attention to the passage I'd read earlier, 1 Peter chapter 5, again, a powerful passage that deals largely with the topic of humility. Today we want to focus on the topic specifically, the humility of following Jesus. Again, the humility of following Jesus. And, you know, interesting to really look at the topic of humility versus pride. And the fact is, the sum total of our walk with God can be a word that can describe the way our walk should be, is a life of humility. But we need to get correct definitions of both of those words, because, again, humility is not what often people will think it is. In reality, humility genuinely is complete submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. That's what humility really is. It's complete submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. Humility is not necessarily walking around, looking down at the ground, not looking people in the eye, looking like a whipped puppy. That's not necessarily humility at all. That may just be somebody that's scared or afraid or frightened of people. But the reality is, humility is complete submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. And every believer is called to live a life of humility. On the other hand, pride is the desire to do things our own way, and it's rebellion against God. And the fact is, pride is something that's very, very tricky. So as we look at this passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 once again, I want you to really pay attention to what God is saying, because God wants us to understand it's so easy to be tricked and misled because of the tragedy behind what pride really is. So we always have to be on our watch. Every believer has to battle pride. Every believer has to battle pride. It comes in so, so many different forms. So again, 1 Peter chapter 5, specifically beginning verse 1 once again. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Again, God, the word says clearly, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. That same scripture draws, not only is it found here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it's also found in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, the same scripture. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Again, pride is a real monster, and the fact is, pride is that which causes one person to look down on another individual. Pride is that which causes one person to think they're better than someone else. Pride is that which causes us to treat other people wrong and offensively, largely because too often as human beings, too often people will think of themselves as just being better than someone else. Pride can get us in trouble 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, if we allow it to. It's been said that the disease of pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the person who has it. We all have to watch out for pride. Every single one of us. Pride is behind any time we mistreat other people under any circumstances. Now, understand this. Sin comes in many different forms, but pride is involved any time we disobey God. So we have to ask God to help us to walk in victory over the pride, because again, remember this, the devil will try to slip it in wherever he can. Pride is also the sin that, pride is what even got the devil in trouble to begin with. It was his pride, he got lifted up in pride and rebelled against God. Again, we must look to God and the Spirit of God to help us to walk in the humility that we're called to. Now, the most humble person that ever walked the earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important that we don't misunderstand pride for confidence and being confident in what you do. Not at all. Again, a person can be very humble and very competent and confident in what they do. So don't misunderstand at all. And being confident and competent are wonderful and good things. Pride in this regard, as far as this is concerned, pride, again, will get you in trouble any day of the week. So as we look into the Word of God, it's important that we're looking at that always. Now, in the Old Testament, Moses was known as a very meek and humble individual. But there, too, it's important to know, too, Moses had problems with pride as well. In fact, at the beginning, you could say pride, in a sense, played a bookend role in his life, in that, like, when he was a young man, he ended up murdering a man who he felt was doing an Israelite wrong. And later in his life, he got in trouble before the Lord because his pride got the best of him. He got angry and expressed his anger in a way in which he disobeyed God and didn't even get the chance to go into the promised land, at least not in the Old Testament, because of his disobedience. And again, it was pride that which led him to do the wrong thing. We all have to be careful of the sin of pride. Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called us to walk in humility. And your Holy Spirit, who is our divine tutor, will teach and empower us to walk in your humility day by day and moment by moment as we learn to live a life submissive and submitting to him. Help us, Lord, today to walk in your humility so that we will glorify you in the things we say and the things we do. And Lord, help us to avoid every day more and more the sin of pride. Help us to recognize that you've told us that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. Help us, Lord, to make it our goal every day to walk in your humility. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, keep in mind, the sin of pride comes in many different forms, so all of us have to watch out for it. All of us have to be careful, because it's the Holy Spirit that can help us to walk in such a way where we can be overcomers in this area of life. Keep in mind, for example, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it lays out for us God's definition of love. And as you look at that, again, keep in mind, love and humility go hand in hand. And remember, love looks at others and desires to be a blessing to others around us, whereas, again, pride often causes us to want to ignore people, look down on people, or think little of people, often now whether we say it or not. Many times it's because we see ourselves as better than other people. And again, you see one of the many ugly sides of pride, because God made us equal. As human beings, we're equal before him. We, as God's children, we're the children of God, believers. We're all children of our Heavenly Father. But it's important to know, too, even very much as believers, we have to watch out so that we don't have pride in the way we even supposedly love each other. So we need the Holy Spirit to be our divine tutor, our guide, our help. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us these words. It's just a portion of the chapter. Starting at verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, it's by the grace of God, when we walk in love, we're walking in humility. When we walk in love, we're walking in humility. And so notice what it specifically says. It says love is patient and is kind. Now, it's good for us to ask God to help us to learn to judge ourselves and evaluate ourselves, because, you know, in our own human nature, we tend to let ourselves off the hook time and time again. We're very patient with ourselves. You ask your average person, are you a humble person? And lots of folks will say, sure, I'm humble. and they might would add to it if they were honest. And I'm gonna hit you if you say I'm not humble. You know, in other words, we want to give ourselves a good grade no matter what. But the reality is God's word helps us understand God's standard, and God's standard helps us to do what the right thing is. So again, walking in humility and avoiding walking in pride is an important goal for every one of us. If a person lives a prayer-filled life, remember, prayer is one of the great tools of humility. It's one of the great weapons of humility. The more prayerful we are, the more we live our lives given to prayer, the more humble we're able to walk. On the other hand, when we fail to, when we neglect prayer, when we don't spend much time in prayer, that's pride. A prayer-filled life is a life of humility. A prayerless life is a life of pride. Now, you might say, well, how do you arrive at that? Because when we walk in pride, often our perspective is, I can handle this myself. I don't need to pray. I don't need to spend time with God. I know what to do. Now, many people say, I'd never say that. Well, you may not say it, but our actions say it. You don't have to say it with your words. If your actions say it, if you're living a fairly prayerless life, that's pride. Because it's like you're telling God, God, I can handle this. I can take care of this myself. I don't really need you. What a foolish way to live. On the other hand, we learn to be prayerful about the big things, the little things, and all the in-between things. It's acknowledging the fact that we're dependent on God, and that's a wise way to live. You know, a prayer-filled life, again, is a humble life, and a humble life is a fruitful life. On the other hand, a pride-filled life is a life that's fairly prayerless in so many instances. And keep in mind, many times, even when people who are filled with pride are doing things, often they're wasting their time. Because remember, God is not going to bless pride. God is going to bless humility, and he's going to work through humility as well. King David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A powerful theme throughout the Word of God is that God refers to us as being sheep. Now, the fact is, that's no great compliment per se, because the fact is sheep are helpless animals, they're weak animals, they're animals that need a lot of help to function. They need a lot of help just to survive. Well, as human beings, we need a lot of help. We need God's protection. We need God's help to survive. But if we're wise, we'll acknowledge the fact that just like God calls us sheep, he calls us sheep because that's what we are. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture, and we desperately need our shepherd. But humility is acknowledging that we desperately need God, and we're continually seeking him in prayer and in his word because we desperately need our shepherd. Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called us to live a life of humility. Fill us afresh today with the spirit of humility. Help us to live recognizing that we desperately need your guidance, your grace, your protection, your help, your counsel, and so much more. Help us to be wise enough to live a dependent life, depending on you, our great shepherd, to guide us, we who are your sheep, who desperately need your hand of help in so many ways. Help us to live that way each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic of the humility of following Jesus. We'll be right back.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
In 2 Corinthians, the Lord is described as the God of all comfort. But Dr. Tony Evans says sometimes the path toward comfort involves more pain. He offers this illustration as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You may notice that I am standing up here today with half shoe, half sneaker. That's because a week and a half ago, I developed an infected foot. I went to the podiatrist and said, I'm in pain. Now, before I went to him, I self-medicated. I tried some ice. I did the best I could to comfort myself. But sometimes pain can get so bad and life swelling can get so big that you can't comfort yourself. And you need a professional who knows how to bring comfort to come into your situation and to ease the swelling of your pain. So I go to the podiatrist and he came out with a needle this long. He says, this needle is gonna hurt. However, when I have injected what I know into where you are, if you let the great physician do his job, your foot will be comforted in light of the affliction that you're going through. The pain began to subside, the swelling began to go down because somebody knew what they were doing. God is the God of all comfort. I don't care what your pain is, what your suffering is, what your affliction is, what your need is, what your ache is, no matter what your circumstance happens to be.
Dr. Evans digs deeper into what life in God's kingdom should look like in his series, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Listening to the music of Cam, the song entitled My Praise. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of the humility of following Jesus. And as believers, again, it's important for us to know that the whole of the Christian life can be characterized as humility, that is, submitting to the Word and the Spirit of God. Again, true humility is complete submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. The only person that ever lived a life of perfect humility was the Lord Jesus Christ. But now all the rest of us can strive to get as close as we can. And that's an important goal, to walk in humility and to avoid living a life of pride. Again, pride is basically saying, I'm going to do it my way, my own way. I'm going to do things the way I want to do them. On the other hand, submission, humility is submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. Jesus, in his humanness, while he walked on this earth, always followed the Holy Spirit 100% of the time. He never got away from the direction of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when he waited on doing certain things that others may have thought he was supposed to do, again, it was an act of humility. There was a time in which Lazarus was very ill and someone sent word for him to come. Well, Jesus didn't leave right away. And one might would ask, as you read the story, why didn't Jesus pick up and go as soon as they sent word that Lazarus was ill? Well, it was because the Holy Spirit let him know, stay where you are. Don't leave yet. And when he did leave to go check on Lazarus, it was because the Holy Spirit told him, now it's time to go. Jesus always followed the direction of the Holy Spirit, so he lived a life of perfect humility. Now, again, all the rest of us, we've got to work at it. But the Holy Spirit, one of his names is the Helper. What is he here to help us do? He's here to help us follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll do just that as we seek to follow the Word of God and the Spirit of God. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 4, a powerful and a very interesting story is found there. Daniel chapter 4, a story within the context of the book of Daniel, specifically about King Nebuchadnezzar. And, of course, the story involves Daniel as well in a powerful way. Daniel chapter 4, starting at verse 1, it tells us these words. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And Nebuchadnezzar goes on to explain a dream that he has, an instance where he had a very unusual and dream that really troubled his mind and his heart. He woke up and was troubled because of it, so he called his magicians, his astrologers, his wise men, called them in to interpret the dream. None of them were able to interpret the dream except Daniel. And so when he has Daniel to come before him and explains the dream, Daniel, by the grace of God, is given the interpretation. Daniel explains to him what it means, but he lets the king know through the dream, King, God is giving you a warning that you need to humble yourself. You've been caught up in pride. You've thought too highly of yourself, and God is giving you a chance to humble yourself. Well, God, through Daniel, gives him that warning that in the dream, the king sees this huge tree that's a sprawling tree that's providing shade for different animals, provide help and blessing to many, many different creatures. But at some point, the tree gets chopped down almost completely. Only a small little piece of the tree is left. And the tree, again, is not much to look at by the end of the dream. And Daniel lets him know God is giving him a chance to humble himself before he has to judge him. Well, Nebuchadnezzar hears the dream from Daniel, and he appreciates Daniel interpreting the dream. But just 1 year later, after King Nebuchadnezzar refused to humble himself, he continues in his pride. He continues in his arrogance, looking up to himself and seeing himself as being too high and way too big in and of himself. Well, God chooses to humble Nebuchadnezzar. So picking up chapter 4, verse 28, it says these words. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and honor, the King of heaven, and all whose works are truth, and all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Again, verses 28 to 37, Daniel chapter 4. So just in a nutshell, what happens to King Nebuchadnezzar is God sends him the dream and lets him know that he needs to humble himself. And he's given a warning, a clear warning. And Daniel interprets the dream and lets the king know, King, you need to humble yourself. By the grace of God, God has sent you this message. You need to humble yourself. Nebuchadnezzar didn't do it. And a year later, after he'd had the dream, this is exactly what God did, just as he did just what he said he was going to do. He made Nebuchadnezzar basically to lose his mind. He went crazy. And for 7 years, he went out into the woods and lived like a wild animal, ate grass like a cow or a deer or a goat out in the woods. And if you can picture some of his subjects walking through the forest and one day looking out and one of them saying, being startled and saying, my goodness, what kind of animal is that? The other one saying, oh, that's the king. He's lost his mind. He's crazy, living out in the field, living out in the woods like a wild beast. And for 7 years, the king was out there. But keep in mind, God in his sovereignty allowed this to happen, but he preserved King Nebuchadnezzar. Because if you can imagine how easy it would have been for someone to assassinate him, to take him out. But the fact is, God preserved his life. And after 7 years, God allowed his mind to be restored, and he began to acknowledge that God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and that God is sovereign over him and all of the nations and all of the kings. And finally, when Nebuchadnezzar did acknowledge that, after 7 long years of being out in the woods, living like a crazy wild animal, his mind is restored and he goes back to the kingdom and becomes the king once again. But now that he's back in the palace, King Nebuchadnezzar is singing a brand new song. He's not singing the praises of himself now. Now he's singing the praises of God. And he's worshiping, praising the God of heaven because he acknowledges that God is God over all peoples, all nations, all lands. So his pride is put down. Remember, the word of God says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's true on every single level. As we walk in humility, God will always bless our walk of humility before him. If we walk in pride, again, the Bible says God resists the proud. If you're walking in pride today, according to the word of God, God is resisting you. In other words, he's not going to bless you in your pride. On the other hand, when we humble ourselves, God will bless that. So as we said earlier, again, prayer is one of the tools of humility. When we take time to pray and seek God in prayer, basically we're saying, God, I can't handle this myself. I'm coming to you because I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your help. Lord, help me through this situation. Again, prayer is one of the great tools of humility. Another one of the wonderful tools of humility is, of course, the Word of God. As you read and meditate on the Word of God, you're listening to the voice of God, the counsel of God, the direction of God. And as you listen to it, you receive God's wisdom that will help you to know what to do in life. On the other hand, when believers don't hardly ever read the Bible, then that's an act of pride. To refuse or to ignore the Word of God or to neglect the Word of God is extreme pride, because basically, through our actions, we're telling God, God, I know what to do. I know how to live on my own. I'm wise enough. I'm smart enough. I'm intelligent enough by myself. I don't need your counsel. I don't need your guidance. I don't need your direction. I can handle life by myself. What a foolish way to live. None of us are wise enough. None of us are intelligent enough. None of us have enough counsel and understanding in life to know how to live a life that honors God. A life that's pleasing to God, a life that will accomplish God's will in the world. We need to be students of God's word. So again, two of the great tools of humility, again, is our life of prayer. When you live a prayer-filled life, you're walking in humility before the Lord. Again, but a prayerless life, if you rarely pray, again, that's extreme pride. Again, you're making a statement through your actions to God, God, I can handle this. I can handle life pretty much on my own. And so when we spend much time also reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God, that too is a great act of humility. We're letting God know, Lord, I need lots of counsel, lots of guidance, lots of direction. I need help desperately from you. So I'm staying in your Word so I'll get the counsel, the direction, the help that I need. But to be one who rarely opens the Word of God, rarely cracks your Bible, again, your statement to God is, God, I know what to do. I can handle life on my own. I really don't need your guidance, your direction, your help. May not a single listener who's listening today live that way. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the privilege of being able to read your Word and meditate on it and thus receive your wisdom and your guidance, your help, your direction. More and more open our understanding to recognize that as we become faithful students of your Word, that we're walking in great humility as we read and meditate on your Word, listening to your counsel, your guidance, your direction. Help us, Lord, not only to do that for ourselves, but help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to live lives of humility as they too learn to read and meditate on your Word. And Lord, fill us afresh today with the spirit of prayer. Help us too to recognize that it's great humility on our part to live a prayer-filled life, a life where we're continually seeking your guidance, your wisdom, your help, your direction in prayer. And like David, help us more and more to recognize that we desperately need you, Lord, that we desperately need your help in all circumstances and in all situations, and that we're wise to see ourselves as sheep, just like you referred to us in the Word of God, sheep who desperately need a good shepherd. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you are the good shepherd and that you're more than able to guide, to provide, to protect, to help, to strengthen, to direct all of your sheep as we simply follow you, our good and great shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for being a heavenly Father that teaches us to walk in humility and guides us to avoid a life full of pride. What a blessing, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be able to walk with you day by day and to learn the blessings of following Jesus and the blessings of living a life of humility. Guide us so that day by day, more and more, we will walk in humility and thus live a life that glorifies, pleases, and honors you. We thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession that we've looked at as we looked at the topic today, the humility of following Jesus. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.